Monster Man, Episode 79, Apparition to Astral Searcher. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and in this second season of Monster Man, I'm reading my way through the 1981 Fiend Folio Supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in it, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're going to be looking at three monsters finishing out the A section of the Fiend Folio. We're going to start with the Apparition, and we're going to finish up with the Astral Searcher. And in between, we're going to take a look at the deadly and gross Assassin Bug. Before that, though, I want to just quickly answer some listener mail. Listener Stan sent in an email about manticores, and in it he links to a post on the blog Goblin Punch. That's goblinpunch.blogspot.com, and this one's about manticores. But you can see Goblin Punch's unique take on lots of different D&D monsters just by clicking on the link on the right-hand side of the page that says Bestiary. These are really fascinating to me. In some ways, they feel more fairy tale-like. Maybe fairy tale's the wrong word, but they have this kind of surreal quality that I associate with some types of fairy tale. And there's a lot of wonderful stuff in here that's largely about reimagining like the structure of D&D to make it less of sort of, or not reimagining the structure, but reimagining the creatures and the settings to make them less like what we associate with traditional fantasy. And I have a lot of sympathy for this. A lot of the kind of stock fantasy tropes that you find in a lot of D&D games and video games don't really appeal to me all that much. I'm almost more interested in pairing things back to a kind of, you know, 19th, early 20th century adventure fiction structure, or, you know, going full weird and doing really bizarre stuff with it. And somehow the kind of, you know, the Forgotten Realms doesn't really hold my interest. Or you can use it as a context to do things that would interest me, but it itself doesn't interest me. So I love stuff like Goblin Punch's take on monsters, and this was already one of my favorite D&D blogs, even before Stan sent me the link. So good call there, Stan. So if you're interested in seeing a really weird and different take on quote-unquote traditional D&D monsters, I recommend that you check that one out. In it, the idea is that the manticore is basically like, they're all bitter old men who've been transformed into these monsters. And there's certainly this aspect, and it's really interesting to me, that runs through a lot of interpretations of the manticore, that it's spiteful. You know, there are several different fictional interpretations of manticores that feature the idea that it's bitter and angry about something. Something that I don't think is really present in the original sources, so I don't know where it comes from, but it seems to be pretty consistent. Maybe it's just that one illustration and what its face looks like. I don't know. I think that's interesting to me. Anyway, I definitely recommend you go check that out. Just go to goblinpunch.blogspot.com and click on Bestiary, and you'll see some good stuff there. We got some good comments on the our first episode, including a lot of enthusiasm for the Achaerai, and I'm very pleased to hear that some of my listeners are going to be using Achaerai in their games. I've also heard back from listener Ted Perdomu about, you know, back when we talked about the Vampire Mimic, Ted said he was going to use one in his campaign, and apparently it gave his players quite a fright. This is a very high-level game with very powerful characters, and nonetheless, he put a lot of them in real grave peril with this vampiric mimic, so I'm pleased that that idea, that somewhat silly idea, managed to have a real effect in someone's game. So yeah, I'm really glad to have reintroduced the delight of the Achaerai to my listeners, and I really want to single out Evan Hughes' comment, where Evan says that he thinks that the Achaerai looks less like a parrot and more like a seagull, and suggests that, like a seagull, it's going to mug you for your chips. Okay, let's take a look at this episode's monsters. We start with the Apparition. This was submitted by Underworld Oracle, which is a pretty spooky name. The Apparition basically, so see if this sounds familiar. The Apparition exists only on the ethereal plane. It can only be sort of hit while it is attacking. It has an ESP ability that allows it to detect people, and it hits you with an icy touch. Now, the icy touch doesn't do any real damage, so you have to kind of resist the mental suggestion. But if you fail, then it can either terrify you, or terrify you so bad that you die of a heart attack. And unless you're rezzed, you will then come back as an apparition. So, it's an ethereal entity. It frightens people. It's a ghost. Right? It's one of the many kind of aspects of what a ghost would be like folklorically. And I think if you think back to the episode of Monster Man where I talked about ghosts, or the My Favorite Monster special with Hannah Powell Smith where we talked about ghosts, you'll see that one of the things that we noticed was that the ghost in the monster manual isn't very ghosty. And I suspect that what we're going to see is a series of monsters in this book that attempt to fulfill the unfulfilled promise of certain monster manual creatures. The ghost of the monster manual isn't as ghosty as it could be. So this one still doesn't have a lot of other ghost tropes. There's no unfinished business. There's no particular importance attached to the fact that it's a dead person. But it's an ectoplasmic specter that kills you by frightening. That's quite ghost-like. And I wonder if when you get a monster that has a bunch of kind of different facets, we're going to see each of those facets being turned into some kind of different creature. I suppose you can see the same thing back when we talked about the devil dog, that there are basically all sorts of folkloric bad hounds, and the devil dog, and the Kushi, and the death dog, and the hound of ill omen, and whatever, are all just kind of different aspects of those. I have written in my notes for this episode, G-A-R-N-A, and then emphatically underlined it. Ghosts are really not apparitions? I genuinely have no idea what it might mean. Oh well. Next up, we have the Assassin Bug, and this one comes to us with a rich pedigree. It was created by Games Workshop co-founder and Fighting Fantasy co-creator Ian Livingston. Unlike the Apparition, this is a very naturalistic monster, right? The Assassin Bug is really just a piece of local wildlife. It comes out during its mating season, which is only a couple of days a month, and it kills humans not because it's malevolent, not because it's defending anything, but just because this is a natural part of its mating cycle. They come in pairs. You got a male and a female. The male has a paralyzing attack, and if it successfully paralyzes a target, then the female comes along and lays her eggs in the paralyzed animal. And this is actually, you know, based on the egg-laying behavior of a number of real species, this idea that, you know, oh, well, the larvae are going to need something to eat when they hatch because they're going to go through a rapid stage of development, so they need a lot of food. And the best way to keep food fresh is to keep it alive. So it paralyzes you rather than killing you, and then the larvae hatch inside you and gobble you up. So there's quite detailed procedures for how you can deal with this larval infestation and the various spells you can use and so on and so forth. So again, this is in the tradition of a lot of the fantastic wildlife from the Monster Manual, but a little bit more detailed. And again, I think that's a trend that we're going to see. Now, part of me wonders if this is not because if you were reading an installment of Fiend Factory, you know, you can look at two or three monsters and have them all be quite detailed, and you don't really mind. Whereas if you have a whole big book and you need to look it up on a fly, maybe it's a little different. And because I think when you propose a single new monster, you are proposing it as more of the centerpiece of a scenario. Saying that, I don't think the Assassin Bug is or was ever intended to be the centerpiece of a scenario. Obviously, it's just a random wilderness encounter, just grounded in a more naturalistic view of what a D&D monster should be like. So I really like the Assassin Bug. The illustration by Russ Nicholson really puts them over the top because it is gross. Also, they have four limbs, which is really weird, even though a lot of animals have four limbs. But somehow the idea of an insect with the wrong number of limbs is gross. I'm not sure why. Finally, and here's another D&D big name, we have the Astral Searcher created by Tom Moldvay. Now, I can't find that this appeared anywhere else, but, I mean, maybe I only looked quite cursorily, so maybe it'll turn out that this is from a scenario or something like that. Because the Astral Searcher is one of those things that's basically just kind of, I don't know if it's a hazard of astral travel, but it certainly would come up a lot if your characters were traveling around the planes a lot. Otherwise, it's just sort of a weird random encounter. The Astral Searcher is a disembodied spirit. It's not really a spirit. It's a disembodied astral entity created by either human thought, you know, often of a particularly, like, traumatic or intense nature, or by humans or something moving between the prime material plane and the astral plane. And basically, you know, it doesn't have a body, and it would like to have a body, so if you've got a body, it comes along and it tries to turf you out of it and take over for itself. That's pretty straightforward. I think I'm always less excited about monsters that are kind of based in the planar system, but I don't think there's any reason for that. I just somehow never really got that into it, maybe because I never played Planescape. But I feel like the Astral Searcher is a pretty, you know, a pretty good, kind of a meat and potatoes planar monster, right? Like, it has a very understandable premise. It has a fun, slight variant mechanic where, like, obviously because it's trying to turf your personality out of your body, it doesn't really matter how much armor or whatever you have, so it's a fight that relies on things other than the stats you normally use for fighting, which is always fun. It's a good monster. Maybe, and this is me being shallow, but maybe part of the reason that I'm not super into it is that it doesn't have a compelling visual image. In fact, I think this is the first monster we've seen that doesn't have an illustration, or two, in the case of something like the Achaerai. Now, if you go to Jeff D's DeviantArt page, you will see that there is an illustration that he did for the Astral Searcher, and I'll try to put a link to it in the show notes. And it seems that, I mean, he kind of implies that he sort of ran out of time. And it's just kind of a wispy, spirity looking kind of thing. I mean, nothing too special, but I do feel, I mean, it's not a bad illustration, of course, but I just mean, it kind of looks like you would expect it to look. But I do feel like maybe part of the reason I feel slightly let down by the Astral Searcher is because it doesn't have a spectacular visual aspect. Certainly the Achaerai would not be what it is without its lovely Russ Nicholson illustration. Oh, I figured it out. G-A-R-N-A stands for good-ass Russ Nicholson art. Yeah, that's something that's going to be coming up a lot, too. So the Apparition, the Assassin Bug, and the Astral Searcher are all interesting. They all kind of fulfill... The Assassin Bug is the one that I would explicitly link to the word ecosystem, but they all do kind of fulfill a particular role within a D&D-type ecosystem. And nothing quite so out of left field as the Achaerai this episode. But I think, once again, we're getting a good look at the various kinds of uses that the creatures in the Fiend Folio were put to. And in some cases, the goal of, like, explicitly filling the gaps of the monster manual, and in some, sort of we see pushing a particular view of what monsters can be like, right? The Assassin Bug, which is just like a complex natural hazard. If you landed on an alien planet, you might find yourself confronted by an Assassin Bug. You might even find yourself confronted by an Astral Searcher, depending on how sci-fi you were being about your alien planet. You probably wouldn't run into an apparition. Okay, so that is it for the A section of the Fiend Folio. There's some great stuff ahead in B, so please join me next episode as we take a look at the Babbler, the Bat, Giant, and the Burbling on Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. Do you have a favorite monster? Do you have something you'd like me to talk about? Find me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or send me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/monsterman, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content and my brand new show, Patron Deities, in which I explore the deities and demigods advanced Dungeons & Dragons book. Check it out. Thanks for listening.